Hej, jeg hedder Lea Korsgaard, og jeg er chefredaktør på Zetland og har den her tanke. Hvis du kan lide 30 Years helt formidable fortællinger, så tror jeg også, at Zetland er noget for dig. Fordi Zetland er en anderledes avis, du kan lytte til. Vi giver dybde og perspektiv på tidens vigtigste historier, og så fortæller vi dem, så du virkelig har lyst til at lytte med. Du kan blive medlem lige nu for en 20 for de første 2 måneder, så hop ind på zetland.dk/30 eller klik på linket i podcastbeskrivelsen, så ses vi forhåbentlig i Zetland-appen. Hej, så længe.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Du lytter til Det Tredje Øre. Jeg hedder Paik Malinowski. Vilhelm Hammershøi blev født i 1864 og døde i 1916. Han var maler. Han malede mest tomme rum. Og vi ved ikke så meget om, hvorfor. Hvad han så, når han stod i dagevis og stirrede ind i sin stue og malede den med stor omhyggelighed. Når han af og til bad sin kone Ida om at sidde model. Vi ved ikke, hvad de talte om, når hun sad der med ryggen til. Hvorfor sad hun altid med ryggen til? Var han glad for hendes nakke? Eller var hun sur på ham? Hvorfor gav han aldrig interviews? Hvorfor brændte han alle sine breve? Nu har Hammershøi været død i næsten 100 år. Men tænk, hvis man kunne sætte sig ned med ham og spørge ham om nogle af alle de her ting.
Ligesom vi mennesker her på jorden har det sådan, at nogle gange taler vi jo ikke med hvem som helst. Så har de det også sådan på den anden side.
For nylig inviterede jeg 3 klærvoyante medier ind på Statens Museum for Kunst. Velkommen.
Tak.
Tak.
Hvis jeg lige kunne få jer til at introducere jer selv kort.
Mit navn er Tine Gårdsdal. Jeg er uddannet klassisk sanger og uddannet klavoyant medie.
Mit navn er Pia Nevis. Jeg er uddannet lærer og klavoyant medie.
Og så var der Erling Christensen.
Ja, jeg er også en af slagsen, og jeg er også lærer oprindeligt og klavoyant medie.
Jeg satte dem ned på 3 stole foran et af Hammershøis malerier. Interiør med staffeli, Bredgade 25.
Jeg kender ham ikke. Jeg har selvfølgelig set hans billeder, og jeg kender navnet. Jeg starter med at have en fornemmelse af noget melankoli, en ensomhedsfølelse.
Interiør med staffeli er, som så mange af Hammershøis malerier, holdt næsten helt i grå nuancer.
Jeg vil nok gå lidt videre og se noget depressivt på en eller anden art. Og billederne udtrykker også et billede af maleren. Og der var stort set ikke nogen mennesker, der kendte ham. Han værnede meget om privatlivet.
Jeg fornemmer også, at der har været nogle morproblemer, og den kærlighed, han har fået fra sin mor.
Vi kigger ind i et tomt rum, bortset fra et staffeli, der står over i venstre hjørne med bagsiden vendt mod os.
Det, jeg sådan synes, der er meget tankevækkende, det er, at staffeliet står på den måde, som det står på. Vi ser bagsiden. Vi får ikke lov at se, hvad der er på den anden side. Og hvis vi havde lov at se, så var det sikkert også tomt.
Det er mig, der står der udenfor. Det er som om det rum, der fører ind til der, hvor der er møbler, og der er mennesker, der er, det er der. Hvor der er lys, og der er skins imod mig, men jeg går ikke derind, jeg hører ikke til. Det er mig, der står herude.
Jeg har også meget svært ved faktisk at få fat i en farskikkelse, inden jeg hører noget omkring noget autoritet, noget autoritært. Han har svært ved at lege med andre og være med andre, og har nok været et følsomt og anderledes barn.
Jeg ser ham sådan luske langs med panelerne, dyb sorg og skæren i hjertet omkring altså kvinder i det hele taget og det andet køn.
Hammershøi blev gift med den yngre Ida Ilsted i 1891. På maleriet er der en åben dør midt i billedet, der fører ind til et tilstødende rum. I rummet ved siden af er der et lille bord med en suppeterrin på.
Der har også været et ægteskab her. Og det altså, nu er der mange måder, at ægteskab kan fungere på, jo. Altså, man kan jo godt på overfladen have en flæde, hvis man kan sige det sådan. Men det har ikke været stille indad til.
Han havde børn. Du ved om det?
Nej, de fik aldrig børn.
De fik nemlig aldrig børn, for jeg kan heller ikke mærke de børn, nej. Altså, at der er noget smertefuldt også omkring det.
Ja.
Ja. Det lyder simpelthen, at det lyder ikke så pænt, men at han i lange perioder havde potensproblemer. Simpelthen. Ikke permanent, men der var også noget i det.
Efter en tid der på museet begyndte vores samtaler at gå i cirkler, og jeg tænkte, jeg ville inddrage et fjerde medium. En ægte Hammershøi-ekspert. En lidt uventet en af slagsen.
Hello?
Is this Michael Palin?
It is indeed.
Hello, it's Pike Malinowski calling from
Hello,
Denmark.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you so much for Michael Palin så et maleri af Hammershøi i London for 20 år siden og blev betaget. Jeg spurgte ham, hvad det var, der havde fanget ham.
I think it was just the quiet of the paintings, the fact that there was so little to see and yet so much that the painting seemed to convey. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of a stillness and almost a kind of sort of geometrical sort of emptiness, but it still had a great emotional strength. And I thought, well, I've not really seen paintings quite like this.
Palin rejste senere til Danmark og lavede en dokumentar for BBC om Hammershøi. What was the most surprising thing you found out about him?
I think it was about his family, you know, that here seemed to be a kind of quiet, very introvert man. Mm-hmm. And we discovered that certainly his younger brother Sven seems rather different and was much more sort of extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of friends, was an artist, was also a designer himself. I think he designed sort of glass and ceramic and all that sort of thing. And so there seemed to be an extrovert younger brother there, which we hadn't expected to find.
Mm-hmm. And you make a trip out to Kalundborg at one point, and where Hammershøi and some friends and his brother had this artist colony where they drank and they pranced around naked. And I can hear your surprise when you discover this, and perhaps you're even having a hard time accepting this image of Hammershøi as hanging out with these liberated hedonist people.
Yes, well, I don't know whether he did, really. The great thing about Hammershøi, even having been there for a long time, there were still secrets we couldn't quite unlock.
Right.
And his relationship to his brother, and whether he threw himself naked in the snow and sort of read Greek verse and drank the wine out there with his brother and his friends or not, we still don't quite know.
Heller ikke Palin fik hul igennem til Hammershøi, da han lavede sin dokumentar. Han forlod Danmark med lige så mange spørgsmål, som da han kom. Jeg spurgte ham, hvad han ville spørge Hammershøi om, hvis han kunne tale med ham gennem de clairvoyante medier.
Yes.
What would you ask him?
I would ask him whether Ida enjoyed being painted by him.
Mm-hmm.
Why he painted her so often with her back to the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
Altså, et af de mest sårbare steder på en kvinde er jo nakken. Nakken har meget, meget stor betydning. Og det tror jeg simpelthen, han har vidst. Og det er derfor, han maler det sådan, og er fascineret af det. Hun vil blive overrasket over at se sig selv portrætteret på den måde. For jeg tror, han har haft svært ved at give udtryk for det. Jeg har sådan en fornemmelse af, at han ikke rigtig har vidst, hvad kvinder var. Altså, hvad det var for nogle mærkelige nogen. Altså, og han måske godt kan have været lidt fascineret af det, men også lidt skræmt. Også lidt bange for hvad det var for nogle væsner.
I think I'd probably ask as discreetly and politely as I could, what was Ida's state of mind as she grew older? Was she depressive? Was she, did she have a fear of leaving the house?
Jeg tror ikke i starten, men på et tidspunkt, han bedst kunne lide, når hun var stille. og det var hun ikke. Altså, jeg tror ikke helt, han har skudt hunden på hårene der. Altså, jeg tror, der har været en anden kvinde inde bagved facaden, som han ikke helt har regnet med. Og det tror jeg, han havde svært ved at håndtere.
Jeg ser det lidt som om, der springer en prop af hende nogle gange.
Og der har også været aldersmæssigt noget forskel på dem. Også ved at vælge en kvinde, som kommer fra helt andre kår, jo ikke? Altså, der kan man jo på en eller anden måde forme selv. Og hun har ikke været ret gammel, da de har giftet sig.
Jeg ser hende samtidig, Ida, visne mere og mere ind. Altså, det er længere tid, der går. Jeg synes, det er som om, at hun på et tidspunkt har født et dødfødt barn, eller har aborteret, og så har man ikke været ved med at prøve, fordi det var for farligt for hende. Og han ville ikke gøre hende ondt. Og jeg ser hele tiden den der, jamen, jeg vil jo ikke... Jamen, hvis det er farligt, så vil jeg jo ikke. Og
så er vi igen tilbage til billederne, altså den der meget stilige, meget rene, lidt markante form, han vælger at udtrykke, men også på en simpel og en enkel måde.
I suppose if you say that I find Hammershøi's work unforgettable, there must be something in me that responds to that. Now, just see the sort of the spareness, really, the austerity of those rooms, and yet their beauty does appeal to me. And I think, yes, I can sort of aspire to that.
But there's a paradox also, I see, anyway, that, I mean, you're a very funny person, you're a very extrovert, you were part of Monty Python, you've done all these travel documentaries, you get around.
Yeah.
And he is such a contrast to that.
Yeah.
Or is he, or do you have an inner Hammershøi?
Well, I think there's a part of me which is quite like him. Definitely is. I think that, what is it, writing, acting, all that comes from understanding something about yourself and the world, which is not to do with anybody else. It's only about you. And you may produce the material, and then you work with others, like we did with the Pythons, and we change it, and we do it. But basically, you know, what do you start off writing about, whether it's a lumberjack or a man who's frustrated cutting hair and wants to become a lumberjack, but is also gay, you know, and all that sort of stuff. You know, that's got to come from something inside. And it's not something that can be done by committee, and it's not something that can be read in books particularly. And so in that way, that's your own little space, and that's your own creative space. And I think it's really, really important to be in touch with that, because otherwise I think you just produce work which is the same as anyone else's. And I think Hammershøi was producing work which no one else did in quite the same way. And he was doing it by getting right back in touch with something which we might find a little troublesome, a little worrying, maybe a little alienating, you know. Sad man in room, no friends. That may be the truth, it may not be the truth, but it gave him, you know, he acknowledged it in the way he painted. And I think the worst thing is to sort of suppress that feeling, any feelings you might have. Sometimes we all feel feelings of loneliness and alienation in some way. And that's part, I think it's part of the creative process, and it's part of how I write, and I suppose how I play a character when I think of acting. And a lot of the characters I play and I enjoy are failures. They're people who are, you know, are either laughed at, as Pontius Pilate was in Life of Brian, or sort of centurions who are sent off to crucify the Jews and are terribly sort of embarrassed and ashamed of what they're doing. They're interesting, you know. I think perhaps I'm more in touch with sort of inadequacy and the connections that people don't make, because you've got to understand those before you understand what true friendship and love and affinity is all about.
So in a way, we all have a sort of an empty, quiet Hammershøi room inside of us.
I think we probably all do, but a lot of us are either frightened to acknowledge it, or in these days of sort of Twitter and Google and all that, we just have to bang on about it and tell everybody else. I mean, I think great, good thing about Hammershøi was he was able to say, well, this is me, this is what I am.
Mm.
I'm not an extrovert. I don't want to talk about my work all the time.
Right.
Maybe I do feel a sense of loneliness. That's what your clairvoyance found. But that's me, and I'm not going to go and have a course of psychotherapy, and I'm not necessarily going to go and join a website for sad artists. You know, I'm going to just live with it.
Right.
And that to me is much more mysterious, and I'm interested in the mystery of life, not any solutions.
Jeg får ganske konkret ind. Det er ikke godt altid at være journalist og være undersøgende, for nogle ting skal bare forblive mystiske. Hvis der er noget, du vil have svar på, skal du spørge dig selv, hvad vil jeg have tænkt?
Even in his afterlife, he seemed to be protecting his privacy.
Yes, yes, exactly.
He was really hard to get talking, you know.
Yes. I'd like to have a drink with him.
Yeah. Wouldn't we all...
Get him drunk and see what happened then.
Right.
Du har lyttet til Hammershøi på divanen. Hans maleri, interiør med staffeli, Bredgade 25, blev fortolket, analyseret, kanaliseret af tre klærvoyante medier. Erling Christensen, Tine Gårdsdal, Pia Neves og den britiske komiker Michael Palin. Jeg hedder Paik Malinowski. Hvis du kan lide, hvad du hører i Det Tredje Øre, så spred det glade budskab. Eller som Michael Palin sagde:
In these days of sort of Twitter and Google and all that, we just have to bang on about it and tell everybody else.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hej, jeg hedder Lea Korsgaard, og jeg er chefredaktør på Zetland og har den her tanke. Hvis du kan lide 30 Years helt formidable fortællinger, så tror jeg også, at Zetland er noget for dig. Fordi Zetland er en anderledes avis, du kan lytte til. Vi giver dybde og perspektiv på tidens vigtigste historier, og så fortæller vi dem, så du virkelig har lyst til at lytte med. Du kan blive medlem lige nu for en 20 for de første 2 måneder, så hop ind på zetland.dk/30 eller klik på linket i podcastbeskrivelsen, så ses vi forhåbentlig i Zetland-appen. Hej, så længe.